and welcome to the official podcast of the Irish Association of Speech and Language Therapists, the IASLT in Conversation. Today we are talking to Seonna McGarren, who is originally from the west coast of Scotland, but has been living in Galway since 2019. In that same year, Seonna was diagnosed with a highly aggressive form of primary progressive multiple sclerosis, and within 2 years began having some difficulties with her speech. Seonna has been working with the speech and language therapist Caroline McLaughlin and Alan Joyce, clinical engineering technician from Enable Ireland, to help her communicate. Initially through letter pointing, but now via a grid pad and nano head mouse. Seonna is with us today to share her experiences and is joined by Caroline and Alan. So thank you all for joining us today. I'm going to start with a question for you, Seonna. Can you tell us a bit about your life experiences before your MS diagnosis? What were some of your passions or routines?
Hi, Ciara. Thanks so much for inviting me to take part in today's podcast. I hope that others can learn from my experience of assistive technology, which has made a huge difference to my quality of life. Prior to my diagnosis with multiple sclerosis, I led a fairly active life. I used to love walking my dog for hours at a time and went to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. I've always enjoyed socialising with friends and family, and still do, but I've always been quite self-contained, for which I am eternally grateful in my current situation. I've always loved reading and occasionally writing, but never had time before. So, thanks to my grid pad and the gift of time, I can indulge both my passions. I often think of the people in the past who have been similarly affected and how cut off from the world they must have felt, never mind highly frustrated.
Thank you. And how did you first realise something might be wrong? What was the journey to diagnosis like?
It was a long and, at times, tedious journey to diagnosis. It took the best part of a year, which is not unusual for someone with MS. Looking back, with the gift of hindsight, I'd had symptoms for years but had chosen to ignore them. The odd trip here and there, tingling in my legs when using the treadmill in the gym, similar tingling at the base of my spine when getting a back massage. The actual first sign that something was really wrong was when I developed foot drop. That's when I first sought answers from the medical profession. After a barrage of tests and misdiagnosis, it was actually a relief to finally know what was wrong. I was diagnosed with a highly aggressive form of primary progressive multiple sclerosis. About 2 years post-diagnosis, I first had issues with my speech.
Okay, great. And what did you know about speech and language therapy and what speech and language therapists do before your experience, and how has this changed?
I actually knew very little about what speech and language therapists did, having never encountered one before. I never realised how wide the remit is and what an impact it could make on one's life. Before, to my shame, I thought it was all about speech impediments and stammers. With a new insight, I found myself suggesting to a friend having a career crisis that she become one.
That's great. I'll just start maybe with Alan and Caroline. Can you tell us a little bit about this? So Seonna now uses a computer to communicate. And can you describe how that is set up and what Seonna can do with it?
Seonna has close to full cursor or mouse control on a communication aid. To control the mouse on the screen, Seonna has a small reflective dot on her forehead, and by moving her head very slightly, this movement is then picked up by a camera on the top of the screen, which then in turn translates her head movements into mouse control. The second part of our communication system is a program called the Grid 3. As Seonna controls the cursor and settles it on an image or a letter or a passage of text on the screen, The program then runs a task such as speaking the phrase or jumping to a website or controlling the TV in our home.
Oh, brilliant. So, Shona, how has that changed the way you communicate?
It has very obviously changed the way I communicate from way back in the days when I could vocalise myself to laterally, pre-grid pad, pointing to the letters on the alphabet. Assistive technology has entirely changed my life and I'd be lost without it. These days I wouldn't even be able to point to the letters. If I was writing guidelines on how to interact with someone using assistive technology, I would put emphasis on one word, and that is patience, in capital letters. Please allow me to finish what I am saying before wrongly preempting what I am about to say. I found myself in all sorts of unrequested situations. I also find it distressing to have my grid pad taken away or out of reach, seeing as it is now my only means of communication.
And Caroline, is there any advice you would give to other speech and language therapists working with people with MS and using assistive technology?
Hi, Kira. I think the advice I would have for SLTs working with people with multiple sclerosis and AT, or working with anybody who's using AT, is to try it out yourself. It's so different when you see Shona using it, using the system. And Shona is a super user. She's amazing. She's incredibly determined and has a great sense of humour and will keep trying until she gets something to work. She and Alan are a fantastic team. I'm really just their assistant. Alan is an expert in AT and they have customised the system together to make it the best possible solution for Shona. And they're still figuring out things all the time. But when you see Shona using it, we're so used to being able to turn around and use our fingers to fix something, tap on the screen. When you have to use the system with the eye gaze or nano head mouse as your access point or a switch access, it's very different and it really does require a lot of patience. Also, I'm definitely one of those people who's guilty of filling the silence and chatting too much, and we have to just become comfortable with that silence and waiting. I think as well, I would love to find out what other SLTs are doing out there in the community and extend the knowledge and the resources that we have. There's a very good website called communicationmatters.org.uk, which is a great resource for AAC.
That's great. And so I guess, how can listeners be better allies to people using communication software?
By simply listening and recognizing that there will be a pause before one replies, and not feeling the need to cover the silence with other questions or changing the topic of conversation. I find when I am in company with more than one person, I'm usually at least two topics behind in the conversation, and people look at me askance wondering, what is she talking about?
Great. And is there anything else you would like to add about, you know, your MS and your experience with technology and assistive technology?
I am immensely grateful to Caroline and Alan for the huge impact they have made on my life. Also to all those who have helped me in the past. They have opened doors for me that I thought were forever closed. To those people like me, facing a life reliant on assistive technology, I say embrace it. I was extremely apprehensive of using it at first. I thought I would never master it. I remember my carer, Anne-Marie, holding my head still to use my nano head mouse and the grid pad and saying, "You can do it. If I can do it, you certainly can."
Thank you. That's brilliant and really, really good advice. And we really appreciate you taking the time, all of you, to be here today. And I know a lot of preparation went into today, but we're delighted to be able to hear Shona's voice and her lovely Scottish lilt there, using her grid pad. And it's really, really great to hear and share your experiences. You can listen back to our other podcasts by following our social media channels on X, Instagram and Facebook, or by searching the IASLT in Conversation on Spotify.